Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Today is June 23rd, 2015. It's Tuesday. This is Blog Talk Radio, Healing Hearts His Way, and your host is Mitzi. That is me. That is my name. That's my real name. A lot of people ask me if it's a nickname, but it's my given name, Mitzi. So, today we are having an interview, and I am interviewing Peter Harmick. He is an author and an ordained minister, and we're just going to be talking about things that the Holy Spirit has placed upon our hearts, or that He will, and I'm going to open the show now with a quick prayer. Thank you, Father, for this day. Thank you for allowing us to be able to just pause, and at any time we can come to you and we can ask of you anything. And God, we just ask that this show be pleasing to you. I lay down my motives, my purposes, my own agendas, and I just ask that you just put your words in my mouth and that these words be pleasing and pleasant to those who listen to them. And that you place your hand here, your anointing, your glory, God, and that you just bless this interview and that you just bless your family. And I just thank you for this. And I ask, God, that you please be with the sound and that you help everything to work okay. I've had a little trouble with that. And, Father, I just appreciate all that you do for us. And I just say all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, we're just going to just go straight into the interview with Peter. And we'll just see where God leads us. Hey, Peter. Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you just fine.
Oh, that's so awesome. Hi. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Good, good. So I really appreciate that you agreed to come on the show today, and we can just chat, and we can talk about my favorite topic and perhaps yours also, because you and I do talk about God a lot. And so I was trying to record the show 10 minutes ago and having a great difficulty with hearing you. But when I did my lead-in, I was talking about, I asked God, what did He want today's show to be about? And He said, you know, we've talked about broken hearts. Jesus came for the brokenhearted. We've talked about lots of people's hurt and how God cares about that. And God said, why not talk about my heart? And I was like, well, you know, it was just Father's Day. And God is our Father, and He just loves us that much to be a Father to us. So we can just open the show and just kind of talk about if you have any thoughts or ideas on God as our Father, what He's doing with the body of Christ today, and what you see happening from your perspective. So I'm just going to give you the floor, and you just talk, and we're just going to have a good time here and just enjoy ourselves And I have a fun interview so people can hear what we're thinking and what God's showing us.
Okay. This is the first time I've ever done anything like this, so just bear with me, everybody that's listening.
I totally can relate because God asked me to do this, and this is not anything I ever had planned in my life. So every time I'm still nervous and I'm saying, oh, I'm so sorry they have to hear me, but you know, really it's just talking, and people do get to enjoy listening, so I really appreciate it. Don't be nervous, and this is going to be fun, so go ahead.
Okay. Mitzi asked me to talk about what the Lord is doing in the body of Christ, and I know one thing that I've experienced and seeing people that God's had me minister to, a lot of people's eyes are being opened to the truth of God, and a lot of falsehood is being pushed aside. A lot of the garbage, so to speak, is being cast away. People walk, people are laying falsehood and false doctrine, things of that nature, and walking in God's truth. And God's been moving in the midst of it. And another thing, what God's really put on my heart is there's a lot of people in the body of Christ. God's put an anointing and a call and a destiny and a purpose in their lives. But they stood back and hid and not really pursued with their whole heart what got the things that God had for them. A few weeks ago, the Lord had me get back into writing again. I maintain a blog website called the Barnabas Chronicles. You can check it out at thebarnabaschronicles.wordpress.com. The very first blog that I wrote since I got back into writing, I'll give you a little bit of background. I took a year or so off from writing just to take a break, and because one of the last things I wrote was really, really intense. I just wanted to kind of take a step back, and I was finishing some schooling and things of that nature. But anyway, the first blog that I wrote after I returned back to writing was I titled it Hidden Ones, and God spoke to me clearly that there are people that feel like hidden ones. They feel like they've been hidden. They feel like they've been held back. They know that God's placed a purpose on their lives, and they're like, God, will it ever happen? When will you lead me into those things that you've had for me and you promised me? And I know my own life. I know the Lord's promised me some things in my own life in the realm of ministry and things of that nature. And I've been pressing and asking, like, God, when's it gonna happen? But God told me, those hidden and held back ones are going to be moved to the forefront. God's going to move those that have a true heart for Him forward, and use them for His glory, and to move forward in the calling and the purpose and the giftings that God has placed on their lives. And because time is getting shorter and shorter by the second. God's calling for those that are willing to walk in His true anointing and walk in His truth, no matter what the cost, and proclaim the true word of God.
Yeah, I totally I see that also. I think it's interesting that a couple years back, let's say 3 years back, God was bringing so many of these terms that you just used, like hidden ones, and coming out of false doctrine, coming out of religion. And so now these words, we're all talking about them as so much more commonplace. And something that is going on that I'm aware of is we have people talking about the last days and people being controlled or feeling a lot of fear about that time. And then you have some other people who are teaching that, the book of Revelation has been fulfilled and we don't have to be afraid that those things that are written there were for 70 AD and for the Jews during that time. And so there's like still this huge mixture that's going on with people of trying to understand what it is God is saying to us at this time, what the proper balance is. So what's your take on that?
Well, like about the end times, honestly, this is my perspective. I don't get worry about when the end's gonna happen, whenever there's tribulation and all that, when the tribulations happen, rapture and all that stuff. I mean, I'm not dismissing nothing by any means, but I know it's we can't try to figure out, because the Bible says no one knows the time or the hour.
That's right.
Things are going to happen. So, I mean, I don't worry about that stuff. I mean, I'm honestly not afraid of it, not afraid of the end, because.
Mm-hmm.
But my thing is, if a lot of us spent more time focusing on our own personal relationships with Jesus and focus on the things that he's given each and every one of us to do, the world will not be so fearful of the end or anything like that, because people be walking in truth. People would walking with Jesus, and they'd have the joy, they'd have the peace. They wouldn't be worried about all this stuff.
And that's how I see it too. I see, I just see that when Christ came, his kingdom began. And from that day, when he sent the disciples out, and he sent the 70 out two by two, and they went into each city before he arrived, before the apostles did, then he started spreading the good news of the gospel at that time. And we are called, he just tells us, you know, we are called to be the light into the world. And I just feel like it's my responsibility as a Christian to shine my light and to be the right example. And I don't want to have a spirit of fear. You know, I want to have the spirit of power, love, and of a sound mind. And
right.
And I just believe that, I do agree that the world is definitely troubled, and I do believe we are seeing more of an end time, you know, I mean, circumstances are difficult in the financial world, the economy and all those things, and I mean, I'm experiencing some of that in my own life, so I'm not denying that those things are in place, but I just know that as Christians, our greatest hope is for Christ to return and reclaim his kingdom fully. And I just see us stepping out and going into our roles of the ecclesia, the government of God, setting up here on earth. And I just get so excited about that, because it's like, as much of the negative that's happening, there's more positive that's happening. It just isn't being
right.
talked about.
Amen.
Yeah, so I get excited about that, and of course, you know, we may have, who knows what's ahead. Only God really knows what's ahead and what's ahead for each of us. But I do get excited about that, and I just say, I know he's got me covered. He's going to take care of me, and I can just prepare the best that I can with the knowledge that he gives me. But I agree with you. It's like each person has that relationship with him themselves. And through the relationship with God, he's going to tell you what his will is. And his greatest will for our lives and for this earth is an accomplishment to bring his kingdom about. So I just think that understanding what his will is just vitally important.
Amen. Sometimes, trying to understand the will of God, it can be a tough one, because sometimes we can be pressing in. It's like, God, what do you want me to do? Regarding our purpose, or walking in different certain situations, we can be pressing in. We almost don't hear anything, but God still wants us to stand in the midst of whatever we're facing, and keep walking in the truth that we have. And I know with me, So there's been times I've been praying, God, there's been things I've been kind of, I was struggling with. Okay, God, what do you want me to do? Why do you have me in this situation? Why do you have me in this church? Why do you have me doing this? Why am I doing this? Why am I doing that? But you keep pressing in.
Did he answer you when you asked him? Oh, okay. Okay. I haven't asked that question. That's a good question. Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, there you are. Okay. Yeah, we're having a little crackling. I don't know if it's just I don't know what it is, but I can hear you okay. Well, I'm glad you bring that up, asking God, like, why do you have me doing this? I've never asked him that question, but that's a really good question. I like that.
Yeah, there's been times in my own life I've been praying, myself and my wife, and been praying about certain situations, certain things he has us doing. Like, we could be thinking of so many other different things we could be doing, but God has us doing a specific thing. And sometimes it's a struggle, like, okay, we know God's leading us in this direction. We need to walk in. The cool thing is, something God's been really speaking to me lately, and I wrote a little bit about this. When God reveals to us His purpose for things that He has placed inside of us, with that vision, God brings the provision to walk that thing out.
Mm-hmm. Well, I totally agree. You know, he didn't put those desires and his purpose inside of us without the ability to be able to accomplish it.
Right.
So let's talk about, you have written some books. So were you always a writer? Did you always like to write?
Like, I really started getting into writing, like, when I was a child, oh gosh, it was probably second or third grade or something like that. I always enjoyed writing, but after a while, probably once I got into, like, seventh grade, I stopped for a long time. And then when I first realized God had called my life for the ministry, I was about 18 years old, and I was like praying. I'm like, God, you've called me to the ministry, and the first thing that God had me do was start studying the Bible and writing little Bible studies and about things that I've learned, and that's where a lot of my writing comes from. A lot of the writing that I've done, like Bible studies, sermons, things that I've written or preached over the past 20 years.
Mm-hmm. And so you mentioned it. You have a book called Downloads from Heaven. What is that one about?
Yes. The Downloads from Heaven is. It's a book based on, I put together a number of Bible studies and sermons that I preached over the years. I pretty much picked out a bunch of my favorite ones and put them together in a book. It's almost kind of like a small devotional book.
Mm-hmm.
And my pastor. Okay, my pastor.
Yeah, go right ahead. Uh-huh.
I'm sorry. My pastor and mentor, Greg Bogart, he wrote the foreword to the book. I mean, Greg Bogart has been my mentor. He's been my mentor. He's taught me so much and imparted so much into me. 10 years that I've known him, and I knew he was the one to write the foreword for the book. It was really, really cool.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. That is so awesome. And you and I talk about that sometimes. That's one of the things God's placed inside of me is a desire to write a book. And I have so much inside of me, but I have difficulty getting it out for some reason. I don't know, focus or something there. But that's one of my goals I hope to accomplish. So what is in your heart for the people? Since you're called into ministry, you have a love for God's people. What do you have in your heart for them?
If I was to really sum up what God's really put in my heart for people in the most general sense that I can explain it.
God, hey Peter, let me ask you something. You're fading in and out a little bit. I don't know if it's just our connection or. I just hate for people not to be able to hear this answer because I'm so excited for it.
Okay, I'm sorry. And sometimes, and I have I stutter. I stutter as well. So that might be a reason.
I haven't noticed that at all. No, when you listen to a recording, I think you're going to notice what I'm saying. It's just like a little bit of a bad connection. And I had this last week too, so it may be my headset that's really new. So I don't know, but sorry I had to stop you there. But I wanted to be able to hear the answer.
Okay.
So what's in your heart for the people?
Okay, if I was to sum it up in one in a general statement, God's put in my heart to encourage people, be an encouragement to people, to help do what I can, speak into people's lives, help them move forward in the things that God's placed inside of them, and to encourage them that through Jesus Christ, they can overcome anything that comes their way. God has helped me in my own personal life to overcome so much. I mean, if I could explain a lot, I'd be here for a long time explaining the things that God's helped me to overcome. And I'm getting kind of emotional just talking about it right now. But When I was young, I was diagnosed with asthma, really severe asthma. And at a young age, I remember it clearly. A doctor was talking to my parents saying that they said that I wouldn't live to see 16 years old. I just turned 37.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing, when I was a little boy, I was diagnosed with autism, and the school, my school, Peter would have to take special classes, but my mother fought long and hard with the school to have me put in regular classes. And I ended up graduating high school near the top of my class, and I've graduated college, and I graduated a 2-year community college, and I just finished my bachelor's degree in Bible college. I'm taking a break from that though, because God has clearly told me to focus on writing and ministry, and God's really put on my heart to really minister to people in my hometown of Watertown, New York. My church. In which God's really opening things up there, because the leadership is seeing, and I'm actually being recognized as a pastor there, and that's just awesome, and I'm just amazed at how God uses me on Facebook, and I take no glory for myself, none, I'm just amazed some of the. God has me pray for people, and a lot of times God gives me a prophetic word for somebody, and just hearing anything that God has me say or do for somebody, and to hear people say that they've been ministered to and that God's ministered to their hearts and into their situations, without me even pulling anything. Awesome is that.
It is awesome, and I'm glad you brought that up because we were having a discussion just last night about Facebook. Does God move on Facebook? Is God on the internet? And absolutely, He is all over it. And I remember for me, when I first began to realize that, I would log on in the morning and I would just get like a feeling of things to pray for. And I don't even know how to explain this. Maybe you can relate to it. And then I would log off and I would begin to pray. And it was like He was speaking to me, like it was almost like some kind of rhythm that was happening. And I could just sense people's frustration, their difficulties, without reading tons and tons of posts. But I could just read, you know, maybe five or so, and I would say, okay, I know how to pray. And then God would work with me, and we would pray. And I would put some worship music on. So you've got, you know, your worship music. You have some people you're connecting with. And it's like it is a big worldwide web, and we are all connected. And I just felt the Holy Spirit very strongly there on Facebook. And so you do too, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, there's times I've prayed for people in Facebook groups, and God's really ministered through, especially through the prophetic. And every now and then, God has me do a thread on my personal page. And I say, if anybody would like prayer and or for anything at all, please just leave a comment or like it or message me or whatever. And if God gives me something, I will share it with you. If God gives me something to share with you, I'd be glad to share it. And I do it like usually every few weeks. Just when I feel the unction of the Lord tell me to do it, I'll do things regularly, because I just like to leave things open to the Holy Spirit. Whatever God has me do, whether have a home Bible study at my house or go visit somebody or minister to a good friend or whatever, but it's. And I'm just amazed at what God's done, and through it, God connected me with so many people.
I'm totally amazed, also, and that's like, you know, people listening may feel like perhaps we've known each other and we've never spoken on the phone or had any conversation. This is our first time, but you know, just. From you, and I met you in a Facebook group, and it's funny because it's like not like people really have long conversations. They're usually kind of short, and like you're saying, you may give a prophetic word, or you may pray for somebody, or somebody may ask for prayer, but there's a lot of God's business that's taking place, and God's totally working through people. But like when you ask if someone needs prayer, I remember just feeling so excited to be able to place my name on that list because for many of us, we don't have a home church, and Facebook has become, I hate to say it's church because it's not, but it's our fellowship. It's turned into our fellowship with one another, and God is meeting the needs of, as you brought up, the hidden ones, I believe, on the internet, and I appreciate that He does that. I have learned you have to be careful, and, you know, there's everything, just like there is anywhere else in the world, but there are so many beautiful, wonderful, God-fearing Christians on Facebook. I find it fascinating, just fascinating, especially because I'm quite a bit older than you and I did not grow up in the computer age. So for me, it's really fascinating. So,
wow.
Okay. Well, I feel like there's so many things I wanted to ask you. And now you're married, you have a wife and you have two daughters.
Yes, ma'am. I've been married going on. It'll be 8 years in October to my wife Amber, and I have two little girls. Amariah is 5, and Annalise is 2.
Oh, so you have a little one, little bitty ones. I have 3 sons. They are 36, about to be 27, and 24. Boy, so I have a whole different perspective on children. I didn't have the little girl thing. That's why sometimes I joke with you and say, I so wish you guys lived close so we could have you over for dinner and play with the kids and all. That would be fun. So I would like to commend you on what a fine example of a Christian you are in my life. As you and I know, and many that will be listening, we went through a tough, difficult time on the internet of, I don't even know how to explain it, except things got difficult for people being in disagreement over what did God's word say and who felt like, what was the best thing as far as teaching goes. There were so many of us involved in it, and you were just so awesome to never pass judgment and to encourage and to, you just had the most godly ability to sense how to react and how to offer encouragement through that time. And you still offer a great encouragement to both Scott and I would like to say thank you for that. And you're a wonderful example of a Christian. You're a wonderful example of the work that the Holy Spirit's doing today, and your heart is just so beautiful with how you love people, and you know, you just really think deeply about God and such a good father and husband. And I just want to commend you and say that I have really enjoyed God placing you in my life, even though it's just, you know, on Facebook or a few moments of the day, people get to say hi, and of course it's not every day. But I really enjoy that he has placed so many good people in my life, and you're one of them. And I just want to take the time and say thank you for that.
You're very welcome. That just you're going to make me cry again. I'm just an emotional person, just the way I am. That's just the way I'm wired, I guess. But yeah.
Well, you know, when I read some of the prophetic books in the Bible, you know, what the prophets, what God had them say, God's pretty emotional himself, and he had some deep feelings connected with Israel and all they went through, and so I would say you're a man after God's own heart.
Yeah, sometimes I struggle. I feel like, am I really living the Christian life the way I really should be? I struggle with that so much. I am my own worst critic. You know, people can criticize me all they want. I beat myself up more than anybody else could ever combined. Because I'm so hard on myself. My heart is to live the Christian, live a life for God, and to really minister to people, and just be a blessing to His heart. And sometimes I feel like I'll be honest. Sometimes I feel like I mess up just as much as everybody else. If you think you don't mess up, you better just go get on your knees and repent right now.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, no, we're all human. We're all walking it out, and you know, year after year, God just brings you into more revelation, more depth of awareness. It doesn't end, and that's what's so awesome I get bored easy. I'm one of those people that likes to learn new things. I get bored easy, but with God, He just keeps me so intrigued. I just think about it all the time. You know, I just read scripture, and I'm just over here thinking about it. I'll wake up in the middle of the night, and I'm still thinking about what I read. It's like my mind's pondering it and trying to just glean everything. And I just think it's going to be that way for eternity for all of us. You know, this is just the vapor, as God says. Our life is but a vapor. And it's going to be so exciting for all eternity that what we went through on earth was just preparation for what our real duties are going to be, our real assignments, our real, you know, our real living it out, walking it out. How do you view that time, you know, our future eternal life?
What was that? I missed what you said.
I said, how do you view our eternal life?
Do you have a picture of our eternal life? Wow. That is a good
like,
question.
Like in heaven. When we're in the kingdom, when we're in heaven, you know, people look at this different, but when we're all with Jesus and He's ruling and we're spirits and we've left our mortal bodies behind, how do you see that playing out for you?
No more pain. In any kind of pain that people go through in this life, when they acquire their heavenly bodies, when we go to heaven, there's no more pain, no more physical pain, no more spiritual pain, emotional pain, none of that. And there's such joy and peace and glory. I can't even wrap my mind around it. It's just so, I can imagine how amazing it is. And to be able to see those that have gone, to be able to see all those that have gone before us, to be able to interact with them. Me personally, I'd like to interact with the Apostle Paul. I've always had I liked the Apostle Paul. I love reading his letters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like Paul too. He was so strong. He was just so strong, and he knew his focus. You know, he knew where he was going. He had his goal set. Yeah. So I flipped to Revelation 21 here, and it says, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. And there shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." And so absolutely, it's going to be just a glorious, wonderful time that we all get to spend together. And I really look forward to that. And I just appreciate that God's connecting the larger body of Christ together on Facebook, and I just appreciate getting to know more about you, and thank you so much for doing this interview. Believe it or not, we've already ran out of time. We just have a couple minutes left, and I'd like to say thank you to your wife and your children for taking you away from family time. I know when you work all day, it's, you know, your family's so important. But I really appreciate you doing this interview, and I know people will enjoy listening to it. And is there anything else you'd like to say before we have to close out?
I was just praying, just kind of praying as you were talking. I'm sensing that there's people that will be listening to this. They feel like that there's no hope. They feel like there's no purpose. I want to say to you right now, God has a purpose for you. God has a plan for you. and he wants to reveal that plan. Turn your heart to Jesus, and he will show you a new life, and he will show you his plan, his purpose for your life. And as he shows you, he will give you the strength and the provision to walk that out and to come into the things that he has for you.
Absolutely. I stand in total agreement with that. I've done a lot of things in life, but I have one major regret, and that is that I did not give my life as soon as possible to Jesus, and that I just didn't walk more fully in his way. That it had to be such a transgression. But that's my biggest regret, is because he just gives you life and more abundantly. And it's so exciting. It's just so exciting. So, yeah, absolutely. There is hope. There is hope. He loves you. He came to give us life more abundantly and to always hold our hand through anything we would have to go through, to never leave us. He promised he would never leave us nor forsake us. And he has absolutely kept that promise to me. All right, Peter. Well, thank you for this interview, and I hope that you have a good night. And I will send you the link to it. And
awesome.
I'm sure we'll be talking again before we know it.
Sure. Awesome. God bless you.
Thanks for
having me.
All right. Uh-huh. Talk to you later.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So thank you, everybody, for listening to this interview with Peter Harmick. And Peter is an ordained minister. He loves the Lord, and he is an author. He's written 5 books, one of them called Downloads from Heaven, and it's a collection of Bible studies and sermons of Peter digging into the Word of God and putting together thoughts on it for each of us. So if you would like to order one of those books, I believe that is on Amazon, but I can amend this if there's if anybody would like to order one, please just contact me or Peter. And also, become friends with Peter. He's awesome, awesome person. He gives prophetic words, and he is a great prayer. He prays for people. And I really appreciate people doing interviews. I think it's important for us to know one another in a deeper way. And hearing people's voices are just a little bit different, a little more personal than just typing away at one another. As we started out, it was just Father's Day, and God, our great God, is our Father. And Jesus told us, Jesus himself called God Abba. And so we can go to him, and he is just the perfect Father, and he will do anything for you that is in his will that is good for you, and his will is perfect for our lives. So I would just encourage you to think of God as your Father, and he's not as physical man. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. But the Bible contains all those thoughts and all those ways. And I just encourage you to just get in the Word and let him speak to you there. So until next Tuesday, or perhaps even sooner, this is Missy signing off from Healing Hearts His Way at Blog Talk Radio. And I really appreciate you listening. Thank you, and have a wonderful evening.